The future. A relentless, desperate wasteland ravaged by nuclear war. With the destruction of the internet and search engines such as Google, accurate information about the past is traded like currency. Two brave travelers are commissioned with the dangerous task of going back through time to gather as much information as they can to find out about the late 20th and early 21st centuries in hopes that a future society may rebuild what was lost and avoid the horror of a smoldering radioactive planet. But there is a catch. The travelers' journey back across eons of time is a one-way trip, leaving them stranded in the past. There's no way to communicate their findings to the future other than burying reinforced time capsules in the ground. In the hopes that one day recordings such as these will be unearthed to provide a glimpse of the world that once was. All right. This is the mission of the crispy coated robots. And it must succeed. Hey, it's Jim.
Hey, it's Joseph.
And hey, it's George. Oh my gosh. Just before we get started, Tom has been crawling around under the trailer, hooking things up. He's all dirty and everything. We almost did not have a show today, folks, because
it was
crazy. But we're here. And in podcast time, nobody knows the difference anyway. So, but oh my gosh, almost didn't think this was going to happen, but I am so glad, Tom got it. And Tom, if we were paying you, we would give you more, but we don't pay you anything. So,
yes.
But you know what? I'll buy you lunch tomorrow. Okay. But anyway, today's topic, this is why I'm so excited. Show 181. Video game turned live action movie. So these are video games from the past that have been turned into movies, live action, meaning there's actors, not like digital actor things.
We're able to do mini series or TV shows also. I thought that was in the mix.
I only did movies, but okay. We'll let your sad little TV things come in. But the first ever video game movie came out. You guys remember this? 1993, Super yes. Mario Brothers, live action Mario and Luigi. They were these two Italian American New York plumbers, Bob Hoskins, John Leguizamo as Luigi.
Yeah.
Strangest casting ever. Dennis Hopper as Koopa, a monster. It is an acid trip of a movie.
It's considered to be one of the worst movies of all time.
It is ridiculous.
Spoiling my list.
It's crazy, crazy bad. But as of this recording, they did get better over time, some of them. But as of this recording, there's over 40 video games that have been turned into live action or whatever. Oh, I know what you're talking about, Jim.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not a movie, it's a series. Yeah, that's on my list too. Sorry.
All right, there you go.
I just realized.
What's the second Wait, topic? Let's go back to that 40 though, that 40 character. This is not a very popular genre in the sense of by the critics. Only 5 of these movies have gotten over 60% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
This is a hard genre to crack because they weren't money makers. Only 6 of them in the history have made over 400 million. Most of them have lost money with it. And so it'll be sort of an interesting list because these are what we consider our 5 best, but these are not great movies, people. Let's just be honest about it. These are not great movies. I've
got some of the TV stuff's better probably than the movies.
I've got one or two that are going
to
be good.
Okay, you can go with that. I'll let you guys go with that. I'm just trying to be honest with our audience.
To kind of reinforce that, they make these movies because it's a guaranteed draw. Okay, people, if you play and you love this video game, then you go see the movie. They know they're going to get you in the theater. But they take so many liberties with things And especially if it's a video game that doesn't really have a plot to begin with, you know, what is the plot of Pac-Man? You know, gratefully, there's not like a Miss Pac-Man movie that I know of, but, you know, so it kind of, you're going to make a lot of people upset one way or another, but let's talk about a topic that everybody loves. Stamps. Joseph.
Oh my gosh.
Stamps.
Oh my gosh. Near and dear Stamps. To my heart. Stamps. We're talking like 1976, Stamps. Bicentennial year. Little Billy Johnson, Highland Park Elementary, was the vice president.
Oh my gosh.
Of Highland Park Stamp Club.
Wait a minute.
That's right.
You couldn't pull off the presidency?
I wasn't good enough to be president. But in case he got shot, I was right there with my little album and my stamps.
How many times did you get beat up that year? I'm joking.
Every time he got beat up, he'd go by.
I am the vice president of the stamp.
I am the vice president.
What are the duties of the vice? Well, first of all, what are the duties of the president? And then what are the
okay, so again, this is elementary. There's not a lot of duties there. I just have to show up at before school every Wednesday.
Most kids could have been the vice president.
Yeah, right, so
most
kids showing up stamps yourself. Did you go look at a stamp book? How was stamps involved?
So I had like a regular photo album that I shoved stamps in. Some of them were given to me by my relatives from old letters, but most of them were like bought. I would go out to the store and get really excited about buying it. I always had that dream of one day owning a stamp that was going to be worth a lot of money. Never really happened.
Never give up, Joseph. It's not too late.
Never give up. I'm looking for that album. I know I have it somewhere. I'm going to find it and to go over again because
mailed. It's been around the world six times with so many stamps on it.
So I'm super excited about this topic, near and dear to my heart. I do like good stamps. I do like it whenever I don't do a lot of mail, and so whenever I do buy books of stamps and all that, I try to put some thought into it. So if you guys get a letter from me, there's some thought behind that stamp. So stamps.
I have never ever gotten a letter
from either have I. But anyways, let's move on. Now we'll go to our first category, will be the video game, movie, or TV show, or live action adaptation. Joseph,
video game turned live action.
Yeah, there you go. What's your number five, Joseph?
Okay, this sort of came out during the whole COVID time. I'm talking about the 2021 Mortal Kombat. I actually sort of liked it. This was one of those. This was at the time when they were releasing movies and sort of direct to pay per view and Max and stuff like that. And it actually got fairly good critics, you know, were in favor of it. 54% Rotten Tomatoes. So we hit it above that average, you know, but no, I thought that this one was really good. Not like the 1995, which was one of the original ones, which was just terrible. I mean, that one was awful because the dialogue was stilted. Yeah. The actors were like these B-rated actors, you know.
When the acting is better in the original video game than the movie, there's a problem. Yeah,
but I enjoyed this one. It had a little bit of a backstory. Granted, it's a video game. So, anyways, Mortal Kombat 2021.
All nice. Right, George, what's your number five?
So from Sony PlayStation, Uncharted. This is a movie in 2022. Worldwide box office, over $401 million. Tom Holland, who we know from Spider-Man and The Crowded Room and things like that. Mark Wahlberg, Antonio Banderas. Mark Wahlberg plays a treasure hunter, Sully Sullivan, who recruits Nathan Drake. That's the main character, Tom Holland. And they're trying to go after a 500-year-old lost fortune, like $5 billion or whatever in treasure from Ferdinand Magellan. And it's basically, Mark Wahlberg said, this movie is kind of like Indiana Jones and the Thomas Crown Affair. But what's interesting is this is one of those what might have been moments. Chris Pratt, who, you know, did all the Guardians of the Galaxy and all of the Jurassic Park reboot kind of stuff. He was offered the role of Nathan Drake, but turned it down. I'm kind of glad, because I think he realized that he's kind of oversaturating the market. But not a bad movie, even if you don't know the game, if you've never played the game. It's a good action. It's got some good stunts in it, but it's kind of forgettable at the same time. I mean, it's not anything.
It's very light. It's a very light movie, you know, just sort of popcorn fun. That's
exactly popcorn escapism.
Yep.
But nothing earth shattering or really anything to contemplate, but they do a good job at it. They did it well, but Uncharted from 2022.
My number three. This is number three. Wow. So,
all right.
Goes in the canister. Yes,
my number five, a total disagreement with Joseph Johnson from 1995, Mortal Kombat, starring Robin Shaw as Liu Kang.
Oh, there's going to be Lambert a fight.
Is Raiden. Bridget Wilson is Sonya Blade, and Lyndon Ashby, Johnny Cage, and Talisa Soto as Katana. This one actually did have a plot, as Raiden handpicks three martial artists, Sonya Blade, Liu Kang, Johnny Cage, to go, you know, take part of this tournament. And but of course, we know Sonya Blade from the video game is a federal agent. So obviously, spoiler, they could not pull spines from people. you know, this is the first adaptation. They could not pull out people's spines, or could not do the scorpion where they shot the arrow and it goes into somebody and goes over here and the blood spurts out. But I thought it was a pretty faithful adaptation. And I think it kind of really is, even though the 2021 version is probably better shot. This one is more campy and more fun and more of the whole spirit of the video game of Mortal Kombat. And I liked it a lot. So from 1995, now the sequel is horrible. They shouldn't have made a sequel, but the 1995...
Yeah, the sequel gets 4% of Rotten Tomatoes. I'm sorry, giving you the Rotten Tomato score.
Don't give away my list. No, I'm joking. It's not on my list.
But
well, this will be interesting to see Mortal Kombat versus Mortal Kombat.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. And despite that 2021 reboot, many people find out, despite it had a larger budget, it's hard to replace this old film as the definitive Mortal Kombat movie, because it is the first one and it's the most beloved. So there
you go. Whenever they're looking to Starship Troopers as like, wow, that's real acting. That's when you got a problem. That's when you have.
Do you really need really good acting in a video game? You want the campiness. So 1995 for me is my number five. On to stamps.
I'm going to make
a prediction.
We
got a debate going on.
I think there's going to be Mortal Kombat at the end of the show. I'll be that guy on the chair.
21 versus 95.
What is he always is?
Finish him. Highlander in my movie. I got Lambert in my movie.
Finish him.
I mean, that Highlander in my movie should just pretty much get me there already. So
Highlander. Oh, the
actor. Oh, Raiden.
Yeah. Number five stamp for you, Joseph.
Okay, well, before we get into stamps, Jim, you know, it's near and dear to my heart. I got to give a little bit of breakdown for our audience members here. Please, okay, no. First of all, was our first Postmaster General in the U.S.?
George Washington.
It was Ben Franklin. Point for George. Okay, the first stamp really didn't come out until 1847, though. Before, it was sort of pay on delivery kind of thing, but in 1847 it came around there. 1893, first commemorative event stamps was of the World Columbian Exposition in Chicago, and then in 1974 the first self-adhesive stamp came out there, but it quickly died, not to return until 1989. And then 2007 was the first forever stamp. There you go. A little bit of history of U.S. stamps in this country, because I only went with U.S. stamps. I didn't go with world stamps.
Oh, yeah.
I just went with U.S.
Yeah.
Stamps.
USA. And so, USA.
Nice. That's right.
So what is your number five stamp?
My number five is the most expensive stamp. It's an error, okay, which makes it more collectible, and that is the inverted Jenny stamp from 1918. Okay, so they put out this stamp in 1918. of the Curtiss JN-4 airplane, but they actually had 100 of them that were inverted upside down that they took out. And because of its limited quality, also by collectors, because back in 1847, right when they started putting out stamps, you had stamp collectors. When they put this thing out there, it just increased in value. In 2007, they had several copies that were sold for over $1 million. So in other words, they had this like 100-page book of them that they cut up. And so anyways, there you go. The inverted Jenny.
This is my number one.
Okay. A match on stamps, which I didn't think we'd get.
2019, 1.74 million. That was a block of four. That was a little sheet of four. And it's just for this plane, it's a little like biplane, but it's upside down. And it was the, I don't have the name of the clerk that printed it upside down, but 24-cent stamp. $1.74 million.
Nice. There you go.
George, what's your number five?
My number five is going to go back a ways. It is the George Washington from 1868, George Washington B grill. Okay. So at the time it was a 3-cent stamp. Okay. And what they had a problem where people kept reusing stamps. So the government had to figure out a way, how can we get these stamps to where people can only use them once? So they make this like waffle-like grill where it can't be imitated very easily. Okay. But it was, the whole thing was designed for, to reduce the fraudulent use of the, of just, you know, people making these stamps. But originally issued, like I said, 1868 value. If you have one of these kids, it is 1.035 million. There's supposedly only four in existence, or that's what they think. But that is my number five stamp, George Washington B.
Grill. I'm going to check my album. I'm going to check my album right now. Maybe I have one.
Okay. My stamp from 1970. From 1970, it's the Dwight D. Eisenhower 6-cent stamp. Now, Ike is just staring forward in this, and the six is six with the cent sign is in the corner. It's just kind of a good portrait of him, just kind of saying, hey, I'm worth 6 cents. So mine is the 1970 Dwight D. Eisenhower 6-cent stamp. There you go.
I definitely know I have some of those in my album.
Okay. On to number four, video game live action. What you got there, Joseph?
This one comes out from 2010. The Prince of Persia. This is Disney's contribution to the video game system itself here. It is, you know, based on the video game, but really it's a classic, like, you know, Disney style type movie. Arabian Princess, you know, things going on there. Jake Gyllenhaal is all buffed out. I liked it.
When you think Persian, Persian, you think Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. That's exactly what English I think actress of.
Who played the princess, yeah. So, Kingsley was in it, though, wasn't he? Ben Kingsley?
Who?
Ben Kingsley was in it.
Because no one can identify what Ben Kingsley is. I think after, you know, after he you know, did his role as Gandhi and got an Academy for it, they're like, he can be anything. And he has. He's portrayed so many different types of nationalities.
I've seen him play a Persian. House of Sand and Fog.
That's right.
So he can get away with anything. He's a black man. He's a Chinese lady. He's whatever you want him to be.
All right. George, you're number four.
My number four, this franchise has earned a combined total of over $1 billion worldwide, making it the highest grossing horror franchise of all time. Okay. So this is contrary to what Joseph said, that these don't make any money. This one continues to make money. It's a Japanese horror game media franchise created by Capcom, released for the PlayStation originally 1996. It is the Resident Evil franchise. So we've got Resident Evil was a movie, Resident Evil Apocalypse Resident Evil Extinction, Resident Evil Afterlife, Resident Evil Retribution, and then finally, Resident Evil Final Chapter. Oh, but wait. Resident Evil Reboot, Welcome to Raccoon City in 2021. By the way, I've seen all of these.
And then Resident Evil Electric Boogaloo, wasn't that?
That's coming. Yes. It's actually rumored that the streaming service Netflix has a development. They're developing a series based on the franchise. But the game is known as what is known as survival horror, a third-person shooter, and sometimes it's a first-person shooter. But you're surviving these zombie-like creatures created by the Umbrella Corporation, which they were doing genetic testing or something in this facility underground called the Hive. And you've got the AI, the Red Queen, but fun game. The movie's totally stupid, but so much fun just to see, you know, what they're doing. And it is a guilty pleasure of my wife Sabrina and I. So Resident Evil franchise.
So I don't know how this works, George, because I have Resident Evil the 2002, the original, as my number one.
I'll go with that.
Okay. Well, Resident Evil.
That's how that works, Joseph. That's pretty simple.
There was one that I appreciated, because a lot of zombie movies or zombie shows up until I think Resident Evil Apocalypse, the 2004. I don't know. But it was done in broad daylight, which I was like, wow, zombie movie in daylight? Daytime?
Yeah.
Or it might have been Afterlife. I can't tell anymore. They all run together. They're like those vampire movie, superhero vampire thing, where they just kind of all blend. The Underworld series. Oh, yeah. That stuff just all blends in, which there was talk of a crossover at one time, but yeah, Resident Evil.
All right, that's in. My number five, from the writer of Die Hard, from the Academy Award winner from Kiss of the Spider-Woman, and of course, Jean-Claude Van Damme from 1994. Capcom video game comes to life, Street Fighter.
Yes.
Wow.
Directed by Steven D'Souza. Also starring, of course, Kylie Minogue in her first role as Cammy. And Ming-Nan Wen, the voice of Mulan, is Chun-Li, the reporter that helps out the whole situation. Trying to take down the evil General Bison, who is Raul Julia in one of his last film roles, if not his last film role.
I think it was his last, and he actually did it. So he did it for his kids.
Yeah.
Who and loved the video game, and he did it.
So this got like $12 million against its $58 million that it would cost to make.
Well, let me finish my case for Street Fighter. Here's the frosting on the cake. I gave you all the great stuff. Featuring a song. The main song was by Hammer, featuring Deion Sanders, Neon Deion, in his very first and only musical appearance as a rapper in the song called Straight to My Feet, where Jean-Claude Van Damme dances in the video. There you go. And also, it is sampled from Parliament's great hit, Knee Deep. So we had that hit there. We had all this stuff. Raul Julia's last movie, Street Fighter from 1994, is my entry into the video game turned live action.
I think
the Mario Brothers is on your list now. I really think it's going to be on your list. I think you're giving yourself away
you
here.
Put right, you put Steet Fighter. It's Street Fighter.
Oh, sorry. Sure that's okay, sorry, George.
It's a different game. It's a whole thing.
It's quite all right.
Steet Fighter. Sorry. On now to stamps.
Well, hey, hang on. There was a cocaine budget for Van Damme in this movie. And, no, this is the truth. I read that he did, through the course of the movie, he did like $40,000 worth of blow.
Hopefully you can back that up. Hopefully Mr. Van Damme's not listening, and you know, you actually have stats on that.
No, I read it. Maybe it's okay. Not true, but
I read it. That's all that matters.
Allegedly, George. Allegedly.
Oh, I'm sorry. Allegedly.
There you go.
No, that was for Steet Fighter that I was talking about.
Okay, you're not Street Fighter, for Steet Fighter, which is a good movie, by the way. On now to number four, stamps, Joseph.
Okay, I'm going to be cheating a little bit on this because I'm, like I said, I like the collections and all that. So there are series that I put in some of these. So it's not just one particular stamp, but it's sort of the collection of stamps.
I don't think series count.
Well, fine. I'm going to go with the Buddy Holly stamp then, from the Rock and Roll and Rhythm and Blues from 1993 collection. No, I really liked it. This was, you know, it had like Otis Redding, it had Bill Haley and those guys and Elvis, stuff like that. Yeah. I thought it was really good. I thought it was really, really good.
We need some more information on this.
On this itself? Yeah. How much was the stamp? So part of it, this was whenever this before the forever stamps, you know, it was in the 90s and all that. So it was at 24 cents, which, you know, the stamp was for a very, very long time. And then all of a sudden they start jacking up year after year where you had to remember there was a period where you had to use the 3 cent stamp with your 24 cent stamp. And then they were just like, this is ridiculous. So by 2007, that's whenever they said forever. But yeah, I like the Rock and Roll Rhythm and Blues. The
whole Rock and Roll collection. I'm sorry.
1993. There you go.
You can do the whole Rock and Roll collection. I'm sorry.
Hey,
I appreciate you.
Was that Rock and Roll collection? Is that the one with Elvis in it?
So originally it did have Elvis in it. The original one did, but that's whenever like people demanded that Elvis be by himself, and that's when we had the big vote. There
was a huge controversy of Fat Elvis or
it was a vote. They let the people vote.
Yeah.
But I'm going to talk about that later. Okay.
All right. Number four for you, George.
All right. Do y'all know what the Blue Boy is? The Alexandra.
The painting.
No, that's not a painting. It's a postmaster, provisional stamp.
The postal logo? It's not the Blue Boy painting where the little kids in the blue outfit.
No, they call it Blue Boy because it was actually blue. It's one of the only stamps that's blue. And it was in Virginia, Alexandria, Virginia, and printed on blue paper, blue stock, in 1867. Value $1.18 million. Only one in existence that we know of auctioned off in 2018. But the Blue Boy is my number four.
I had the Dutch boy haircut in middle school. Remember, Jim?
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely Dutch boy. Joseph, I felt like Joseph should be spending the day putting his finger in a dam, you know, just sitting there at the recess holding the
classic
water in with his finger.
Bowl haircut.
All right. For my stamp, sorry. From 1972. The 8 cent Winter Games stamp bobsled edition. Cool, very cool.
I like this one. I like this one a lot.
Very cool design of the bobsled in of course 70s colors, and it just says Winter Games and it's an 8 cent stamp. So there you go.
Yeah, this was in 78, I want to think.
I'm talking about the 1972 one.
Oh, the 72 one?
Yeah, there's one from 1972 with a cool looking bobsled.
Uh-oh. Are we going to have another fight?
No, I mean, I looked it up.
No, I'm sure you're right. I'm sure you're right. I do remember it.
They do stamps for every Olympics, though.
Okay.
I just thought this design was particularly cool.
Nice.
All right. Back now to video game turn live action after the number three here. We'll take a little break. What's your number three, Joseph?
Uncharted.
George, your number three.
My number three from video game series created by British gaming company Core Design in 1996 for the PCs, PlayStations. Do y'all remember the Sega Saturn? Remember that thing?
Oh, yeah.
It is Tomb Raider, but not the Tomb Raider you think. It is the 2018 Tomb Raider. Okay. And the reason I like it is because the plot of the movie is pretty true to the 2013 game, which was a reboot of the whole series, where Lara Croft, the daughter of Lord Richard Croft, who vanished years before. She's trying to solve the mystery of her father's disappearance. So she travels to some fabled tomb and off the coast of Japan or something. But this one, it brought in $274 million. Okay. It was different from the Angelina Jolie one.
This is Vikander, right, George?
Yeah. Yeah. Which I first saw in Ex Machina, and then saw her in this. And, you know, I always thought, oh, man, they're going to this is going to take off with her. They never made a sequel, or at least as of the recording of this show, they haven't. But she really did those stunts, and she just seemed more believable to me as a character who is so physical with things. But that is my number three.
Isn't Walton Goggins the villain in that?
Yes.
Baby Billy. Baby Billy is the villain.
Yeah. Yeah. Or at the time, Sheen from the Shield.
Yeah, from the Shield. Yeah.
But yeah, he's gone on to do some interesting things. Yes. Vice Principals, you know.
That's yeah. Right. All that so stuff. Good.
All right. My number three. Might be a bit of a cheat, might not be considered to be in here, but it did feature Pac-Man, Space Invaders, Galaga, Centipede, Donkey Kong,
Pixels.
And Q-Bert. Yes, from 2015, Adam Sandler's Video Games Take Over the World saga, Pixels, which I thought was
on the other day.
Yeah.
And I turned it off.
I thought it was kind of clever in some spot. I did like the final face-off against Donkey Kong, and I like the fact that Q-Bert was their friend, and Q-Bert ends up, you know, kind of being a human. And I like the take on some of the anime video games too that they have. But pretty much simple film. They come take over the world. They manipulate MTV and John Daryl Hall and John Oates in this kind of weird little 80s fest, but Adam Sandler and crew and presidents played by Kevin James. That's how far-fetched this is.
that's where it's a president who cannot read.
Yeah, and then Peter Dinklage.
He has reading.
I did love the Peter Dinklage character as the
he's the best. Yeah,
he's great.
So there you go. Big cast though. Brian Cox is in it, you know, and Michelle Monaghan and tons of people in the movie, but my number three entry is Pixels from 2015 with not just one video game, but a lot of them. So,
and I will say for listeners, if you haven't seen this movie, it is some of just straight up Adam Sandler stuff, you know, kitschiness, but it is fun to watch for the 80s references. If you grew up in the 80s, it is worth watching that. Past the story for just all that fun stuff.
I guess my favorite scene is when Pac-Man meets his inventor.
Yeah.
Yes. You know,
it's kind of like this
out of the middle of the street. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So let's go ahead and move on now to the intermission portion of the program, which today is Caitlin Presents Arcade Ambiance. Perfect for today's show.
Oh, I hear Pac-Man.
I think I heard a fight.
Give me a quarter, Jim. Did we get a free man or something?
You get a pistol, you get
$10. Remember how you would put your quarter on the machine claiming the next game?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
had a guy one time didn't know what that was. He's like, hey man, thanks. You bastard.
Well, there you go.
That was kind of cool.
Thank you. Yes, Caitlin. Very nice. We're moving now to very nice things. Stamps to number three, Joseph, your stamp on your list.
Okay, so number three, it came out in 2007, celebrating the 30th anniversary of Star Wars. That's right, the Star Wars stamps, which is great because they had like Darth Maul in it. They had, you know,
that Jar Jar stamp is worth a lot, I'm sure.
Yeah. I think they were missing Jar Jar. They had the classic Luke Skywalker, you know, all the regular ones.
Misa, yeah. Go to the post office.
But it was sort of fun because I got this collection and it was sort of fun, you know, putting a Star Wars character for a stamp, you know, it was a little bit different. Again, it was personalizing my mail to other people. So there you go. Star Wars 30th anniversary.
Cents it is. All right. So,
George, this was a forever stamp too, Jim. This was a forever stamp
package.
I can still use these stamps today, is what I'm saying. Prove it.
All right, Mr. Gemini. Forever Stamp. What, George, what's your number three?
Forever Stamp. Mine is not a forever stamp. It's the Abraham Lincoln Z Grill from 1867, issued just 2 years after Lincoln's assassination. So this created as one of the first new designs from really, I guess, a post-Civil War America. It's one of the highest valued American stamps. One in 2019 sold for $1.6 million. So, you know, keep your little Star Wars stamps. All of mine sell for millions, you know. But it was created with that little, you know what the Z punch is, Joseph? The indentations? Yeah. So they did it, again, trying to prevent fraud back then. They tried to do it to where the ink would seep into the stamp whenever it was, you know, whenever they would stamp the stamp. And making it impossible to reuse, you know, so you couldn't just wash off the ink or scrub it out. It would actually become a part of it. So, but Abraham Lincoln's Z Grill.
You know, George, if you tried to mail that to me, you would still need one of my Star Wars Forever stamps to accompany it for it to go through. I'm just saying.
All right. You got my number three from 1976, playing off the bicentennial, the year that Joseph was in the stamp club. It was the Spirit of 76 three-stamp collection. Each stamp was 13 cents, and you put all three of them together, and it was the two drummers and the flute guy.
And guess who has that stamp, Jim? Whoa! Guess who has it? This guy right here. I have that stamp.
Make your list?
Oh, I thought you were pointing to Tom. Oh,
no. But yeah. I'm saying I own it. I own that stamp. So.
Yeah, but you can't find it.
Well, no, I can't find the album.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so three stamps in a row so you can mail bigger stuff with the total was 39 cents, but 13 cents each. And also, you got that beautiful picture of the two drummers. And the
Made it equal 76 cents. Wouldn't that have been the thing?
That would have been the best. Yeah. But then
you can like mail a sofa or something. Yeah.
That's my number three. On now to number two, video game live action. Joseph, what do you got?
That has a strong shot with me, Jim.
I did my research. Personal, yeah. The three panel. You know,
honestly, I'm probably voting for the Star Wars thing because I'm such a Star Wars fan.
Oh, I got two big heavy hitters though. One, two for me. So. You're gonna love them. Number two movie for you, Joseph.
So 2016.
Did Jerry Lewis have a stamp? Do we know? Can you look that up, Joseph?
They have an entertainer's collection, but I don't think Jerry Lewis is on it. They have like Lucille Ball.
I'm just gonna tease you, George. I got something even better than Jerry Lewis comedically as for a stamp, but well, George,
Steve Martin, Walden Crazy Guy stamp. Yeah.
Sorry, that'd be awesome. That'd be great.
Your number two, okay. Joseph.
Okay, number two for video game movies is a movie that I actually really enjoyed, and I didn't realize it was a game because I'm not a gamer. And maybe that's the reason why this genre sort of escapes me as far as enthusiasm. I just enjoyed the movie. I thought it was good. And then someone was like, oh, it's a video game. And I didn't realize it. Assassin's Creed, 2016. This is Michael Fassbender. I liked the plot. Apparently it was based on the game itself. And it's sort of this world universe, you know, of assassins, and the mythology revolves around, basically, assassins is more like a religious kind of thing there. There's a brotherhood and all that. It takes place in the 15th century. I liked it. It was good. Assassin's Creed.
This is on my honorable mention. Yeah. I love Michael Fassbender, but yeah.
George, you're number two.
This one, my number two, original UK PlayStation magazine listed this video that it's based on as one of the best nine of the PlayStation VR games. When VR games, virtual reality games, were coming out, the movie, it is such a good movie just on its own. It kind of like the Assassin's Creed thing Joseph was saying. Even if you don't know the game at all, you can enjoy this movie. It's called Werewolves Within from 2021. The movie's a mystery comedy horror film where there's this snowstorm that traps residents inside this local inn in this little tiny town. Okay. Sam Richardson is a newly arrived forest ranger trying to keep peace with Lily from all those AT&T.
I always wanted to see that because Lily was in it, and Sam Richardson from Detroiters,
it's,
like you said.
It's good. Melania Van Trump, something, I don't know. I forget her name. But anyway, there's this mysterious creature leaving a trail of all these mutilated bodies and everything. Spoiler, it's a werewolf. But it's just a straight-up good video game adaptation where, you know, if you like the game, it's great. And if you don't, it's still a good movie. It's got some good laughs in it and suspense. And it kind of works as a whodunit because in the video game, you're like, okay, it kind of like the card game, One Night a Werewolf, where you're trying to figure out who's infected and who's not. And in the movie, it plays off of that. So it's a lot of fun. But Werewolves Within, from
this, this has the highest rated Rotten Tomato score of 82%.
Yeah, it's a good
like
movie.
Blows the rest of them, the five that were over 60% were, the other four were all in 60% range. This one blew everything out of the water. So it was a,
Werewolves Within.
There all you right. go.
My number five. Here we go. Another original versus a remake showdown from 2001. Based upon the Tomb Raider video game, Lara Croft, played by Angelina Jolie, who she was in the film, we got negative reviews, but she was praised. And actually, it was the highest grossing film when it came out and prompted the sequel, The Cradle of Life. Now, great cast here. Can you guys guess who played her father?
Her father.
Yeah, that's exactly right. John Voight. Also,
I will admit, that was fun. That was fun to see that. Yeah.
And then you have a pre-Bond appearance by Daniel Craig as a bad guy. Just all fun. And the reason I chose this too, this actually created a huge buzz for video game movies because everybody's into this game. And then when they saw that poster of Angelina Jolie, in the outfit, people went nuts. It was almost kind of like a cultural thing. And then what could have been, to take from George there, Steven D'Souza from Street Fighter fame and Die Hard fame did write an early draft of this, but rejected by Paramount. The final thing, and this might have been the problem with the movie, they ended up getting five screenwriters all, throwing in their ideas and, ideas from director Simon West too. But all in all, it's entertaining. You got to see the Jolies Jolie and Voight together, and it
my selection. That was cool.
Yeah. For number two, Lara Croft, Tomb Raider from 2001.
Oh, 2001. I'm sorry. Let me fix that. speaking of screenwriters, do you know who did the original treatment for Resident Evil?
No.
And rejected?
Tarantino.
George Romero.
Oh, wow. You don't know zombies, buddy.
You don't know zombies? Get out of here.
Number two stamp, Joseph.
Number two stamp comes from 1993. It was a cultural phenomena. of whether or not we want, which version we wanted. Did we want Fat Elvis or Young Elvis? That's how they were sort of promoted as. One was from the 1970s, you know, the white jumpsuit, Las Vegas style. That was called Fat Elvis. And then there was the 1950s, sort of what you see from the Elvis movie, the recent Elvis movie, you know, the gold jacket kind of thing. And
we'll touch the hair,
over 75% voted overwhelmingly for the Young Elvis, with it itself. This is one of those things that, it's exactly, it accomplished exactly what the U.S. Post Office wanted, which is it got people interested in stamps again. So it was so popular that it was part of that original collection of, you know, American Music Hall of Famers, but it just, they took it out because everyone was so crazy about Elvis. No one wanted the book. They just wanted the Elvis that they just made, you know, a whole book for himself. So 1993 Elvis, we're talking about the Young Elvis.
In addition to that controversy, fat versus thin, there is a crazy, crazy conspiracy theory by Republicans at the time that said that the reason that they went with Young Elvis was because Bill Clinton, William Jefferson Clinton, was campaigning. And I heard, this is no joke, people 100% serious telling me that it was to try to help him get elected because, you know, he kind of favored him.
But isn't that after the election?
No, Clinton was from 93 to 2001.
Yeah, but he said this came out in 93.
The stamp itself came out, but the campaign came out way before.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so they released the stamp in 93 because I remember when people were telling, and I had more than one person tell me that who I thought was pretty reasonable up until that point. And I was just like, you're out of your mind, you know, but I don't know, you know, Clinton got elected. So, you know, maybe they were onto something, but my
fat
number,
Elvis. Two,
you're number two.
Fat Elvis would have Clinton. It would have been George, you know, Herbert Bush all the way. You know, I don't know what stamp they came out with Dukakis, but that didn't work. But, anyway, Benjamin Franklin Z. Grill from 1868, the father of the American postal system. Only very few of these survive today. Okay. One is actually on in a permanent collection at the public library in New York City. And the other was last seen being traded privately for like $3 million or something. But that is another one of those Z-grill things where the ink goes into the stamp, making it unusable again. But this time, our first Postmaster General, Benjamin Franklin.
All right. My number two comes from 1980. 15-cent W.C. Fields stamp. Now, they had a picture of Fields on there, kind of looking normal W.C. Fields is. But in the corner, they got a picture of him juggling, which I thought was a great nod to something, maybe a skill that W.C. Fields did not have, that the stamp postal service said, hey, the guy's a great comedian, is a drunk curmudgeon and everything like that, but what about his juggling? So to have Fields in two pictures, one is that, and then in the small corner, have him juggling, I think that makes it a very special stamp. So
are you saying he didn't juggle?
15 cent, I don't know, according to the postal service, he was a master juggler. So it's W.C. Fields,
well,
1980 juggling stamp.
He was a classic vaudevillian. I think yes. He did juggle.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I thought you were saying he didn't juggle.
No. A nod to his juggling career, which I thought that was kind of brave of them. You know, juggling's not as popular as things. They could have just went with like a scene from his movie, like the bank dick or something. No, they had that and they decided to put his juggling in there, which I thought was a brave move by the postal system to give juggling some, you know, a little bit of gravity to it, you know?
Yeah, I think that's how would you depict vaudevillian?
Juggling, dancing, you know. Yeah. So that's that was kind of very, I did like the artwork on that. So on now to number one, video game live action, Joseph.
Well, Resident Evil, still there. Okay.
George.
Jim, I think we're going to have a tie on this. This is the first HBO series ever to be based on a video game. This one is from the game back in 2013. My kids actually played this game quite a bit, and they were so excited when this came out. From Sony Interactive and Naughty Dog, The Last of Us. Is that your number one?
No.
Oh, okay.
Good choice.
The story to the game and the series, which is pretty truthful to it. 20 years after civilization has collapsed, been destroyed by a virus. So this was before, again, this is 2013, way before the pandemic. You have these people turn into these things called clickers. They're like zombies, but kind of more. And Pedro Pascal, he is hired to smuggle Ellie, a little 14-year-old girl played by Bella Ramsey, out of this kind of real oppressive quarantine zone. And Ellie is, spoiler, suspected to have a cure that can turn infected people back into human. But you guys have seen this, right?
I started it, but I haven't finished it yet. But I will. I, you know, it
oh,
is
good. It's great. I love it. It's a series, but that's why I didn't put it in. Otherwise, I would have put it in.
Wow. It's like you got a good chance of making it, George.
But when you're lost in the darkness, look for the light. That completes my list. That is the last of my list.
My number one will be on nobody's list, and I'm doing this out of my love for SCTV and Eugene Levy and Joe Flaherty. Loosely based upon the 1987 video game of the same name by Lucasfilms, and the only produced TV series by Lucasfilm for Canadian television. It is from Maniac Mansion from 1993, which was created by Eugene Levy, starring Joe Flaherty, and also had later SCTV member John Hemphill, who they all went on to go, well, at least Eugene Levy and John Hemphill went to be on Schitt's Creek. So, but you have a pretty much a family kind of haunted house type show in the video game. There's a kind of a weird professor, and there you go in the house and you look for ghosts and stuff like that. They kind of loosely did that, but I thought it was an interesting adaptation to make it into a family show of this kind of creepy video game that Lucas, you know, the only other video game at the time I remember that Lucasfilm Games did was the Indiana Jones one, which I had on three or four floppy disks when I got my first Mac. But it will never make it in, but I thought it would be mentioned on the show, Maniac Mansion, the TV show based upon the video game from Lucasfilm. There you go. Nice. On now to number one stamp.
Nice, very nice.
Number one stamp, Joseph.
Number one stamp. It should not be denied. I'm not saying it can't be denied because you guys tend to vote against me whenever I say such statements. So yes, it shouldn't be denied.
Yeah, don't kick the hornet's nest. Yeah.
it started in 1957 amongst protesters because they had an issue with the stamp and the symbol on it being defaced with, like, you know, whenever they stamp the stamps, you know, and all that, people were like, you're defacing the U.S. flag. And I'm talking about the U.S. flag coming out, that symbol. It's like the perennial, like, favorite. It's been out. It's come out in different versions, but it's the U.S. flag. It's the most common one. 9 out of 10 times you're using a U.S. flag to stamp as a stamp, as a symbol and all that. So that's my number one is Very nice. U.S. American flag. Okay.
George, you're number one.
That actually stands a good chance. The inverted Jenny from 1918, that was his fifth, but it's my first.
Okay. All right. So stamps to me have a personal thing too, Joseph. I mean, I was in, I think we were living in our Godwin apartment, which Joseph and I lived in a garage for a year basically. And it was
a converted garage. Okay. Let's make it so it was a studio, converted studio out of a garage. Okay.
Joseph slept on a bed. I slept on the couch. So basically, and we had, there was,
I slept on a mattress on the floor. You slept on your couch.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. So, so basically at this time when I was in a class called performance, and it was, you know, you provided material for the U of H radio station KUHF in Houston with your reports. I did one on the Sugar Hill Studios. I interviewed Huey Moe, who was, you know, arrested a couple years later, but I interviewed him, the in-depth report. And I remember the Professor Hawes saying that, you know, whatever you did, if you did a live, you can either do a live or a tape thing. If you did a live presentation, whatever you did, no matter if you messed up, would air that Sunday. Well, we had a student, kind of a foreign student, he actually did a presentation on stamps, and it was the old classic sitcom bit where he froze in his script and he was way off, he was sweating. So he was like, and he just like, stamps, you can get them at the store. You could put them on a letter. And it was 5 minutes of super cringe that I wish somebody had as a reel right now, but he was sweating and stuff like that. I remember watching it and just laughing, but, you know, feeling bad, but laughing. But the professor was right. He went with whatever you did. There was no editing. That was the show. So I'm sure they probably changed that, you know, with the cruel, the unusual
very next
punishment.
Day. Yeah. The very next day.
But yeah. Whatever time I think about stamps, I think about that guy doing his performance. But my number one from 1989, now worth $62. It was 25 cents at the time. It is the Lou Gehrig in front of the microphone retiring stamp, the Lou Gehrig stamp. And if this stamp could talk, it would say, today, I feel like I'm the luckiest stamp.
25 cents.
Ever placed on an envelope. So that stamp, though, I mean, great moment in history, and it's the black and white, and it's 25 cents. 1989, the Lou Gehrig stamp is my number one. All right. We are nice. Done.
Hang on. I got to spell Gehrig here.
Yeah. okay. We are done with not that many matches. This is the first time in a long time we haven't had.
Yeah.
I've got some.
Really?
Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, this is another segment of We're Sorry, We Suck.
We stamp.
Really? We stamp. This comes to us by Hector Elizondo from San Antonio, Texas. Yes.
The one
in Pretty Woman. No, I don't know.
Pretty Woman actor?
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe. Oh, he says he's from San Antonio, about. Though. Yeah. He doesn't live in San Antonio, does he?
He's on the Tim Allen show? Wow. That's not awesome. He was in Taking of the Pelham 1-2-3.
He's really upset the with us, though. If it is the Hector Elizondo, he's really upset with us, with our episode 177, Food Duos and Everyone's a Suspect episode. He takes exception to our food duos. He's like, how could you forget chips and salsa? He's like, they go together. It's a must.
They go together like chips and salsa.
Yeah, he gets jelly. Upset with George and me. He's like, you guys go on and on about people charging for chips salsa, and you don't even mention this episode. Hector, you are right, sir. We apologize. We're sorry. We suck.
Yeah, you're
actually,
right.
Actually, we suck on that one.
Goes together like eggs and corned beef hash. I mean...
Jim's still trying, man. Still trying.
The greatest food combo of all time. Okay, let's. What do you want to do first? Which what do we decide?
Y'all have any honorable mentions? Because I've got a couple.
I just want to point out, so we don't get any letters. Tron the movie came out before Tron the game. That's a whole different list. So that's the reason why we did not mention it. I'm sure a lot of people were thinking along the way of like, why didn't they mention Tron?
Well, understand. And, there was a Blade Runner game that was pretty good.
We're not apologizing for this. Stop it, Tom.
there was a Blade Runner game where it was really a good game. It was for the PC. You played as one of the Blade Runners while the movie story of Blade Runner was happening. So it was pretty neat. You didn't play as Deckard, but you played as one of his colleagues. But that came out again after the movie.
Yeah. Jim's favorite game at Golf and Games, Star Wars.
Yeah, you're right. Let's mention that. The Star Wars sit-in where you're hearing in the background, I can't shake him.
He played that all the time. Yeah.
I can't shake him. Yeah. And here, R2.
Hang on back there.
That was good.
So, yeah. Honorable mention, I have Hitman from 2007. The Hitman, I already said Assassin's Creed. Do you have any honorable mentions, Jim?
No, I don't. Not either one. It was kind of, Maniac Mansion was my number one, so you probably know I have no.
I didn't see it, but the most successful one we have to bear mentioning is Sonic Hedgehog 2. Yeah. That's broken all records.
Yeah, but that has digital stuff in there. So I went with just
Jim Carrey. I mean, he's
well, it's a life. Mix. It's kind of like Roger Rabbit.
It's like Pixels stuff. Too, which probably won't make it either. Yeah.
Yeah. For stamps, I had the Kingdom of Hawaii before it was one of the 50 states. They had the Hawaiian missionary stamps from 1851. So that was my honorable mention there. I thought Joseph might have that. But let's do stamps first, because we only have one match, and that's the inverted Jenny from 1918. So we've got the Lou Gehrig stamp, the flag stamp, W.C. Fields juggling, or parentheses, playing with his balls, Thin Elvis, Spirit of 76.
The three of them together.
Go ahead, Jim. Are you gonna do it?
What? Which one?
Spirit of Cindy Stixie. Then. Oh, okay.
Sounds a little effeminate there, Joseph.
Spirit of 76. Even
Star Wars stamps, bobsled stamp for the Olympic Winter Games.
Yeah.
Buddy Holly, Dwight Eisenhower 6-cent stamp, Benjamin Franklin Z grill, Abraham Lincoln Z grill, the Alexandra, aka Blue Boy. And then the 1868 George Washington B grill. So I'm going to throw a vote here at the flag stamp, because those since 1987, that's kind of been the premier stamp, I think. So
since 57.
Oh,
90. Well, so even better. So thank you, George.
I'm taking it off the list then.
So that Alexandra Blue Boy stamp's kind of weird. I thought, okay, it looks like it's just a big circle, huh? It's old school, very old school.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, and Virginia. I don't know that it was mass produced. I think it was just in one area.
Well, I got to go with Spirit of 76. I mean, I got to throw that away because it's a personal thing.
Your memory a little bit, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's three.
It's either Elvis or Buddy Holly. I'm fine for the Rock collection.
I got a 1993 Elvis, because that's what got Clinton elected. So,
which is the most expensive stamp, George?
Out of mine, I think. Let me go through my notes here.
The Lou Gehrig $62. I think that's the most expensive one.
did I put $62? No, I didn't. So the inverted Jenny, let me look at my notes here. Inverted Jenny, 1.74 million. 3 million is the Benjamin Franklin. So that is.
I'm going to go with Benjamin Franklin. I'm going to go with the most expensive. 9
million is the W.C. Fields juggling.
And he is the first Postmaster General. So that's what we got, kids. The 1987-1957 flag stamp. Skinny Elvis. From 1993, the Spirit of 76, and when did they come out?
Stamp, yeah.
When did they come? The inverted Jenny from 1918, and drum roll, please, Benjamin Franklin Z grill, 1868.
When you first said that, I thought like Benjamin Franklin was wearing a grill, gold teeth, but that's
18. Yeah. Oh, that'd be awesome. So
that was George Washington had the
he had the wooden teeth. Okay, yeah. All right. Video Washington game turned grill. Live action. This should be interesting.
All right. Oh, the boy. Only matches we have. Uncharted and Resident Evil, what we have to choose from. Maniac Mansion. Why are you laughing about that? We've got the Tomb Raider from 2001 and The Tomb Raider with a different actress in 2018.
Tomb Raider Face Off.
Yeah, let's go ahead and deal with this.
I only saw the Angelina Jolie. And she sort of had the Denise Richards kind of thing, which is that she was smiling during the whole episode, the whole show. You know, I'm fine with either. I'm fine with either. But if I had to go, I have to go with the one that I saw. I'm sorry, George.
Oh, what a letdown. Okay.
I know you're going to get me back on the Mortal Kombat. You're going to play that piece of crap 1990s.
Thank you. This all works in my favor.
But the I will say that the Tomb Raider franchise, that was an event, you know, that when that movie came out, people, like you said, Joseph, were so excited about it. So yeah. The other contenders here, we've got Assassin's Creed, Pixels, Street Fighter.
Come on, with MC Hammer and Deion Sanders on the
soundtrack. And a $40,000 cocaine habit. Prince of Persia, which Sabrina and I, we loved that game. Many Friday nights playing that game on our PC. I can't do, as much as I love Gyllenhaal, I can't do Gyllenhaal. When that movie came out, I just, that was the whole whitewashing thing.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
I get it. I get it.
We have The Last of Us. Werewolves, you know, I heard that.
Both of those, either one of those, George, I haven't seen, but I heard really good things. I heard Last of Us is awesome. Joseph has seen it too, so maybe
I told you it would have been on my list if I knew we could do series.
All right, so Last of Us.
So Last of Us. So that's four.
Ooh,
so
here we go,
ladies and gentlemen.
Here we go.
I think it has to come down to the Mortal Kombat. Yeah. I think audience, George.
Audience, I want you to go see Werewolves Within just because it's a fun movie. Okay, but tonight. Today, this afternoon, this morning, dusk, whenever you're listening to this, here is the showdown. For the next minute and a half, we're going to hear Mortal Kombat. We're going to start with Joseph since he brought the entry first. He's talking about the 2021. Joseph. So. You make your case. This is kind of like how you did the debate thing for Gemini.
I think 2021... production value of this one was over $50 million in production. It actually reaped over $200 million in production. So it was considered to be a financial success.
Jim, yes. How much did your Mortal Kombat from 95, how much did it cost?
How much did it bring in? How much did it cost to make? I don't think, let me see. It is from Paul W.S. Anderson, the same director of the Resident Evil series. Let's see how much it took to make. Sorry about that.
Time's running out here.
Grossing $122 million on a $20 million budget.
Okay, $20
million. $102 million.
Okay, and how much, Joseph?
Commercial success.
Mine 50. Only made like four times its amount.
Okay, that's not good, Jim. Make a point, Jim, for 95.
Come on. You have the one and only Highlander in your movie, Christopher Lambert. I mean, one of the sci-fi's greatest heroes in there. You have Bridget Wilson from Billy Madison in there playing. I mean, this, and you have the campiness of the game with all the violence. And you do have some violence in it, though. I mean, Christopher Lambert.
Is there a spine?
Yeah, there's no spines pulled out. No.
Okay. All right, Joseph. No. He's putting up his cast, his campy cast.
So, Rotten Tomatoes, 2021 version, 52%, 1993, 43%. So, more in favor by audience and critics alike. They liked the 2021 version.
You have no audience. There's nothing to support that. There.
What would the audience?
Rotten Tomatoes.
That's the critic scene. What is the audience scale?
Okay, let me look at it. I'm going to pull it up since you're looking up this stuff. I didn't realize we're doing impromptu debate, but okay.
And this movie is more loved than that movie. People don't even talk about that movie. This is the Mortal Kombat they talk about. This spawned a television series. This is such a big
Jim thing. I will tell you, I've seen the 2021. I did not see the 95. So
you didn't see the 95?
I saw the 2021.
You didn't miss anything, George. You didn't miss anything.
Joseph's talking down on it. But in 95, him and I played Mortal Kombat, and we saw the trailer. We were excited.
Joseph,
we saw it together, we liked the movie. Trying to play like, oh, I'm Mr. 2020, whatever, and I'm cool.
I'm just saying, the game got its just dues in 2021. It just took them a couple of decades.
When you're standing at the console, Joseph, who do you choose when you're playing Jim Mortal Kombat?
Who do I choose?
Yes.
Scorpio.
Jim?
I think we usually do Scorpion versus Scorpion.
I think that's exactly right.
Because Sub Zero will freeze you and then break.
Yeah, Sub Zero's good too.
Last point, George. Steven Spielberg was supposed to do a cameo as Johnny Cage's director, backed out at the last minute. They got Sandy Helberg of Up the Creek and also the father of Mitch Helberg from Big Bang Theory to be the director in the movie. So there you go.
So I'm going to cast my vote, and it goes to Street Fighter.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
It's a straight draw on Mortal Kombat. Sorry. I will say, for the campy...
Finish him.
The campiness of it and everything, there is something to be said for that. If you're going to see a movie, audience... a real movie, go see the 2021. Okay. But
Street Fighter, yeah. You got Raul Julia in there. His last film appearance. He did it for
This is the film that killed Raul Julia. So, yeah. Wow. Thank you, Tom.
Wow. Jeez. Wow.
All right. Well, that is it. We end up with Uncharted, Resident Evil, The Last of Us, Tomb Raider from 2001 in that silver costume, and Street Fighter.
Yes. Awesome.
Oh boy,
what a turn of events, what a twist at the end of this show.
That is
all right. So crispycoaterobots.com is where you need to go for all of our information. I wish we get Tom to put some of these stamps, at least the top five pictures, maybe. I don't know.
That'd be great, fun if he can.
And then maybe as a bonus, WC Fields juggling. I thought that was kind of nice.
Or footage, old vaudevillian footage of WC's.
I want to see the Ben Franklin with a grill, he's like a 1980s rapper.
Ben Franklin's grill. It's Ben Franklin grill from 2002.
Yeah. Oh, he's saying he's gonna do
Little Wayne's in the background.
Nice.
All right, so crispycoaterobots.com, where you need to go for all information, our albums, our merch, and all that good stuff. I think now it's time we go ahead and shoot this up, and then we'll get the shovels and bury it there.
Move over here.
Yeah. Hey, make sure you put a stamp on this one.
Oh, make a stamp on the shovels. Nice. Good job. Oh, that's that Alexandra. That's of a blue boy. I don't know if you're going to waste that one.
Blue balls.
All right, so there you go, George, if you want to go with our... official ending.
Remember, there's always tomorrow.
Or is there? Today, we feel like the luckiest show on the face of the earth.
Stupid.